50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, although it's 303. Sorry about that. My bad on that one. Thanks for hanging out with us today. All right.
Why are you sorry about that, though? We gave people a ton of hockey content, and specifically Penguins content with Gentilly.
And we'll see if we do more at 5:30 with Total Request Thursday. We'll put the options up for that, and you can vote on them over on our X pages. Okay, we have PM Team Power Rankings at 3:30. Malzi is ranking the 10 best basketball players in Pitt history. But here is the criteria. It's not by production. It's by Malzi's eye test. If Malzi's like, the guys are all lined up in their primes at Pitt, and Malzi gets to, you know, pick a team for a pickup game, he's drafting them, that's what he's going by. He's not picking them based on who the leading scorer is or whose jersey is up in the rafters. It's all about how Malzi views them as all-time Pitt players.
I'm going to get absolutely... You have created a rule, a corollary.
Yep.
Almost tailor-made in a lab to get me roasted.
By who?
The Peanut Gallery, the Hoi Polloi, our loyal listeners. Now, my eye test might completely mismatch their perception of who is great and not great.
Well, that's the whole point of scouting. Everybody's everyone's eye test is different here, Malzi. People love yours.
I'll tell you what, I have my list in front of me. Now I'm just going to flash it up here quickly. It's back down. I don't want anyone to see it. If I just put my 1 through 5 together as a starting five on an actual, you know, position wise, I think we'd be whooping that ass.
Poppy Annie in 10 minutes will get his take on some of these Pirates trade thoughts out there. The Vladimir Guerrero Jr. stuff, what Ben Cherington had to say today on MLB Network. We'll play more of that later this hour. Mike Florio responding to what Kenny Pickett's personal quarterback coach had to say about Kenny's treatment, pretty much saying that it's been character assassination and a slander campaign by the Steelers on his way out of town to attack Kenny's football character. And here was Mike Florio's reaction to that.
How do I put this as gently as possible? Did the Steelers need to make him look bad? Did he need any help to look bad? Did we see nothing from him in 2 years that would make us say, wow, there's a keeper? You know, Bill Walsh always used to say if he would see a quarterback do one special thing a single time, he'd figure out how to get him to do it all the time. What did Kenny Pickett ever do that makes you say, wow, we need to harness that and do it all the time? He did nothing special. It was all meat and potatoes, simple, basic stuff. So I get why they did it. And it had to be bad for the Steelers to admit failure of a first-round pick at the quarterback position and throw him overboard after 2 years. I don't think he needs any help as it relates to narratives that make him look bad. He made himself look bad in the 2 years he had to show that he could be an NFL quarterback at a high level.
Thoughts?
I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, the only thing I will even say a little bit, and I've counter-argued this in the past, but I understand that you have to at least acknowledge it, and that my counter-arguments might not hold a ton of water with some people, is that he had a bad coordinator, okay? But that coordinator's offense didn't change when they finally fired the guy. They were still running basically the same stuff. You can't install that much new stuff. And Trubisky looked bad with it too. But then Mason Rudolph looked really good, running presumably the same plays, just executing them at a much higher level than either of the other two. So I think everything Mike said there pretty much is how I would feel about it.
Let me tell you why I'm closer to Florio than you might think. If the Steelers had created and gave this to everyone around the team and all their insiders and the Dulacs and Cabalis and the Hathorns and everybody... And by the way, Jeff's like been stuck in New Zealand for a month. He's not on the show again today because he's still, or wasn't on yesterday because he's still in New Zealand.
I guess, is he stuck there? I think he's having...
I guess if you go to New Zealand, you get your money's worth.
Yes, I think this is a lengthy planned trip. I hope he's not stuck
And I feel
there.
Like Jeff's never off, so it's like he's banked all of these weekends and vacations and turned
he's
it into a two-month sabbatical.
He's the anti-Starkey. He's never off. Sorry, Jeff.
So if this happens, this trade happens... And it said that he quit. He didn't want to play here anymore. He begged out. He didn't want to compete. If we didn't have what happened with the Seattle game, to go by. If that incident never happened, then I got to be honest with you. I would be inclined to agree with this personal quarterback's coach. But unnecessary. You don't need to say that about the guy. Why do you need to bring up, you know, something that can't be argued? You're telling us your version of a conversation or what happened. It's behind closed doors. We have to take you at your word. I would think that it was an attempt to make them look better. If we didn't have the absurdity of what happened in Seattle when he didn't dress, and then how visibly upset he was by the Rudolph decision, the way he interacted with the media, when he said things like, I learned nothing from watching, that incident proved that he was highly emotional and highly upset about what happened. So
he was very raw about it. It just is what it is.
That's why I don't think the Steelers' version of events here is that far off from what actually happened. Now, maybe they spruced it up a little bit to make him look like even more of a bad guy in the eyes of fans.
They weren't doing this, though, when Omar Khan was asked about him before the trade happened. They said, He said, I have full confidence in the guy. He threw his weight as the GM up, and thanks to Omar telling us this, his weight has gone up, and he told Kevin Colbert he understands how hard it is to keep your weight down when you're the GM.
He needed to go to that Awaken 180 open house
with
the boys. That's
right. I would have pulled out the recording device and said, Omar, can we get five
Could
more minutes?
Could you imagine if Omar actually showed up at that?
And he's like, guys, I want to shoot the breeze with you
too. I hear you talk about it all the time.
That's what we had. We had people say, I never thought I would try it. I heard you and Donnie talk about it. They were big success stories. But no, Omar threw his weight behind Pickett still before he traded him. And he said, I have full confidence. Now, you can argue, is that GM speak? Yes, of course, because he obviously made a trade that sent him out of town. But they had a chance to maybe be very mum about him publicly and sort of telegraph things, and they didn't. I'm actually with you. If that the Seattle thing never happens, I feel differently and feel like it never worked out for him on the field, but like to say he's some bad guy is wrong. To say he was maybe in over his head as an NFL starter in that offense is more fair. But I don't know, man. It seems like there's only two parties really arguing here. Ultra diehard Pickett loyalists, which I think have only really existed among fans, right? And then the media, which is on the side of the Steelers here in terms of all basically saying similar things. Like, that's the other part of this, Pony. Can you remember one media member who reported on this, who told, like, I think Deion was a guy kind of on an island about it. But otherwise, I think by and large, everyone lined up with a similar story where maybe one small detail was changed about how everything went down.
By the way, not confirmed yet, but working on it next week. Donnie, you know this guy. Malzi, I'm not sure. Eric Badlands Booker.
I know who Badlands is.
To come on and give Donnie some advice on the 93.7 The Fan producer hot dog eating contest.
I'm actually offended for me and for Donnie. You're assuming because Donnie's a bigger guy than I am, even though he's a much smaller guy than
no,
he was?
No, Donnie's raved about the hot dog eating contest and how Joey Chestnut is one of the great athletes of our time.
Badlands is also one of the greatest drink chuggers of all time.
Tom Brady could give him a run, I bet. You ever seen Brady chug a beer? It's frightening.
But how many?
Oh, no, I'm sure Badlands could do, yeah.
Badlands, every year, he does like 64 ounces of lemonade.
And he's
something crazy.
And he is just a gigantic human being.
You should get Miki Sudo on the air.
I don't have a contact for her, but I did for the
female
for Badlands Booker. We're working on a time.
Female world's record, 48 and a half hot dogs in 10 minutes, man.
Fan Outlines presented by Sullivan Super Service. That's where we find KDK TV sports director, the host of the KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan simulcast nightly sports call, the great Bob Pompeiani. Bob, how many hot dogs do you think you could eat in 10 minutes?
Probably two. That's about it. You were talking about chugging beers. I used to be good at that until I switched over to wine. And then
you
I
don't chuck
wine.
Wine. You don't chuck wine. Those tannins will really sneak up on you.
Bob, just like you can play a game of cards and it's dealer's choice, if someone said to Bob Pompeiani, we're going to have an eating contest, you get to pick the food that you think you're best at eating a lot of in a short amount of time, what would you pick?
Sushi.
It's a pretty good
one. To go with that, Bob.
Are you talking sashimi, just the chunks of fish, or the actual rolled sushi with all that rice? Because that rice will pile up on you, Bob.
No. Sashimi, not the. If you do that, the rice thickens everything. It makes it too difficult to do. Just like hot dog buns, this is why they water them down. You better water a lot of buns.
Pony, what would
watering
your
buns?
What would your food be for that? Pony.
Oh, what would my food be?
Mine would be buttered toast.
Blueberries.
Come on, it's a fruit. I could probably eat 3 pounds.
I'm telling
of blueberries
you right now, I can eat blueberries for hours. I have,
somebody just watches you shovel blueberries.
Amanda
down.
Just gets entire containers and they're gone 5 minutes later, and she gets upset with me about it.
They're good for you too, cancer fighting agents, you know.
Bob. Oh, free radicals gone once you start eating blueberries.
Antioxidants, Bob.
No nitrates in blueberries, Bob. Pony's very worried about the nitrates in many of our favorite foods.
Hey, just do it in moderation. You'll be good.
Bob, would you mortgage the future for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Define mortgage the future.
Well, someone and another person, so that makes two people, told me that they are interested in the Soto package, which is what, if they do trade him, which is what the Nats got back from the Padres, and Chris said it was like 6 players. That trade.
Yeah, that's an awful lot. No, I wouldn't do that, but I would be interested in making a deal. And the Pirates have a lot of good, talented prospects who are just that right now, prospects. They look good because they haven't been up here and haven't been exposed a little bit. So, I would be – it's tough. I get it. There are people out there who just don't want to give up on prospects. You build prospects for a reason because you haven't been very good. Utilize some of them. So for him – If it became a pitcher like a Chandler, Solamento, somebody like that, and a player, whether it's Tamar Johnson, I think I would do it because I want to cash in on something.
Would
now.
You do Johnson, Chandler, Ashcroft, and Sawinski for him, all 4?
Say that again?
Johnson, Chandler, Ashcroft, and Ashcraft and Sawinski.
Ashcraft is, from what I heard, is pretty good. There are a lot of very talented guys down there. Sawinski, somebody's going to have to be willing to take a chance on him and see something that they like, they think they can correct. And that certainly is not without question. I mean, that's happened before.
So is this a yes or a no? Yes, this is a yes?
Yeah, I would probably do it just because, again, I think they're in a position if they somehow, at some point you got to do this, make a run, get in. If you get in, this team, strangely enough, could win more than most teams in the postseason, even though it may be harder to get to the postseason.
Well, that's why we were urging the guy that put the betting ticket out there, $1 to make $1 million, he shouldn't cash out. Are you aware of this fellow? Are you aware?
I heard, yes.
What would you
don't
do
cash
if you
out.
You would not? Donnie said go no. Take the $11 right now.
No. You got to be in it to win it.
I think that the right play here is to wait, Bob, not because you want to win $1 million, but because if the Pirates are like 4 games over 500 2 months from now, that cash out number is going to go up.
That's true too.
That's the real, I'm talking very pragmatically, Bob. It sounds like you're just saying for $1 your ass better be sitting in there waiting for that million.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get too many chances at it, so why not?
Bob, I want to jump around with you for a second. Pony asked you about that trade. We just had Sean Gentile. We're very fond of his hockey acumen. He's a buddy of ours. And he said, likeliest Penguin to get traded in the next couple of days, Tristan Jarry. Your thought on that?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because obviously they believe in Adalkovich at some level. He took over the job last year for Jarry, a stretch of 2 weeks in a row. I mean, it was clear that Sullivan did not want to go back to him at that particular point in time, and he stuck with Nedeljkovic. And you also have to make way for people. A guy like Joel Blomquist deserves a chance if they believe. They had Gustafson here, and Rutherford traded him. I think that was some – if he had to do that over, I bet he would tell you that he wouldn't have included him in that trade. But you got young goaltenders. You got to make way for them at some point. And if you get a proper return, which I hope would include different kind of hockey players, more Michael Bunting – than Jake Gensel, even though I respect Jake and everything he's done. You need more of those kind of straight line forward guys who go to the net. And also, they have guys who are ready, I think, to take the next step up here, and they have roadblocks. That's the problem with this. Guys like Malkin are making it impossible for maybe a guy like Braden Jaeger or anyone else who fits that.
Bob, I am very surprised to hear you say this because you have long been a Jarry apologist. You've been a Jarry defender for a very long time.
And I still think he's a good goaltender. But again, I would think they need other things. My rationale for this is they need something different.
Yes.
They need a different kind of component up front in the way they play.
I agree. It sounds like you're finally coming over to my line of thinking. When I would say those things on the sports call, you would shout me down.
Your line of thinking was you just soured on him. I'm not souring on him. I'm not. I think he's a good goaltender, and I wouldn't be surprised if he goes someplace and and is not only solid in the regular season, but does some of the good things in the postseason. I still believe in his talent. I'm just saying they need something else, and maybe the only way to get it is by trading someone like him if there's a need for a team and a goaltender. So goaltenders are very important, and all these teams know it.
Bob, here's a random one for you. Mulsey said jump around like that song.
House of Pain.
Yeah, that they play at Wisconsin football games. If LeBron's son gets drafted early tonight, is that embarrassing? Your thoughts on him getting drafted mostly or mainly because of who his dad is? What's your take?
If it would have been high in the first round, I would have said that, yes. But in the second round, no. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers take him. What do they pick, 55? You know, they went with Dalton Knecht, who's an older guy. And
me were raving about Kinect last night. We were lockstep on
I think
Kinect.
He's a great player, but he's also older.
If they add in a deeper shot in the NBA, it could be Kinect 4, Bob.
And we also
guys like Carrington,
yes.
You know, they like the fact that he's 18 going on 19, and he's got a lot of, 4-year head start in terms of age on a guy like Kinect. I like Kinect, but I think now that they have him, they probably will, if he's available, take him there. Is it embarrassing? No. I wouldn't be surprised if a team like San Antonio does it, try to lure LeBron away if need be.
You know? What if you were Boston and you don't want to lure LeBron because you're the reigning champions, but you picked directly before them? Tim Legler went on ESPN and basically said they should treat it like a hostage situation in a movie. It's a great clip. He just goes on First Take or whatever and says, the Celtics should pick him at pick 54 and then send a message to the Lakers GM and say, we have your son. It'll take Austin Reeves to get him.
And that would be a smart
that's
move.
That's like a funny way to put it, but why wouldn't you do that if you were a team like Boston? Why not try? Because you know LeBron wants to play with his son. That's the entire impetus for all of this. Why not try to do that?
No, I would not be opposed to it. I think it's a very interesting way to look at it. And, if I can make a deal, I don't know about Austin Reeves. I like Austin Reeves. He's one of the bright young players I thought on that team. So, if they did that, that would be crazy to me, but I can understand why they would do it. And then make a trade. If they're that desperate to get him over there and LeBron insists that he'll return only if that's done, then sure, make that deal. But I don't think it's going to come to that. I actually believe he's going to be taken before that by somebody. And again, somebody like a San Antonio, somebody else who may want to lure LeBron away.
Now, will Bob watch that, or the fact that there's no Pirates game tonight, do you turn it into a romantic evening with Lisa? Do you maybe binge watch a show? You go to maybe
no.
a musical?
I'm going to be at work, so I'll be talking to you about it later, Pony. So, I'll be there. I'll be the debate's on tonight. I'll be interested to see how that goes. And then there's always something to watch, but I will keep an eye on that NBA draft as we did last time.
Wow. So you will watch the debate, Bob?
Sure, why not?
Well, because some people are apolitical. Some people don't like to get involved in all that stuff.
Well, typically, I don't get involved in a lot of this. I just like to see how.
Let's be honest; it's going to be an entertainment product. It's on one channel. CNN's got like full rights. I was reading a story about how they've made this into like an entertainment.
But it's going to be on KDKA TV also.
Oh,
so but don't you have to have like the CNN graphics in there? Like they have just said, if you're going to carry this on network television, you have to have our stuff in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a big fan of having constraints on how this thing is done, the way they've set it up. I don't think that's necessarily the right way to go.
Well, we've actually gotten early access to one of the things that Trump is going to bring up tonight on the broadcast, Bob.
We love Big Ben. Big Ben's a friend of mine. Big Ben's great. We play golf together. He once hit a shot that went dead right into a tree. It was a massive tree like this. The ball hit the tree so hard, I swear, I said, Ben, within 2 years, that tree is going to be dead. And you know what? 2 years later, I shouldn't say this because we have a lot of tree lovers here. But 2 years later, that tree was dead. He is a strong guy, and he's a good guy, too. Big Ben.
Bob, I heard Ben didn't really like those comments because it made him out to be a bad golfer.
Yeah, that's not the exact thing I would do to throw out that I know Big Ben and love Big Ben. And this is why, because man, I saw him hit a shank shot. That's basically what he's telling you, a shank. I haven't seen Ben ever hit a shank shot. He's a pretty good, reliable golfer, so I don't know.
Now, how about this ditty from Trump as well?
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back? Right? How about that whole deal? And we do love Penn State. Do we love Penn State? I mean, in all fairness. We love Penn State, but we love Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do, Donald.
He's like a guy in there. He's like a comedian rating the responses as he goes. There's some boos when he says, we're going to bring that back about Paterno. And then he's trying to
And he had been dead for several years, Bob.
He's talking about the statue, but he's trying to like gauge the audience reaction to get a bigger pop there. Like he's doing a promo in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, it's a little outlandish at times, but...
You know, he's a WWE Hall of Famer, Bob?
He didn't know that.
What's that?
Donald Trump is in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. He's always, I mean, he's always around doing stuff. He doesn't mind doing all those sorts of things. And if I remember correctly, he had a pretty prominent role in some of their broadcasts that they did. So
he shaved Vince McMahon's head on the air, didn't he? Wasn't that how that went down, Donnie?
Yep.
Yeah, WrestleMania 23. Billionaire versus billionaire
knows the
match.
Exact WrestleMania. Well, that's impressive.
Donnie probably knows how long the match went. Minutes and
Detroit,
seconds.
Detroit, Michigan, April of 2007.
Yeah, I don't think that came up on the first date with Sarah, Bob. I think he saved that for a later conversation.
Yeah, you don't want to bring that up. That's a date killer right there if you do.
Last one, Bob. Who do you think wins the producer hot dog eating contest on Wednesday?
You
work with a lot of these guys on the weekends, too, so you've actually done deep research.
I think if Steve Benko from your side of things got involved, he could absolutely take it down.
Well, how about Jared Barton? He's a bigger man. He could.
Yeah, Jared could put it down. Steve is deceptively good at eating, so I think you'd be surprised how much he can do.
Like Kobayashi. He's not the biggest guy in the world, right. But you know he can put it away.
He puts it away. He knows how to compartmentalize, and he gets down there in whatever department it needs to be. I think Joel Nelson is somebody who may be surprised. He's a low-key kind of guy, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's out there practicing right now because I think he needs some warm-up, some repetition. I think Callis probably is the leading contender, although Donnie Football lost so much weight he could afford to put it back. So I'm going to go with Donnie Football, and I think he'll consume, is it 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 yes. minutes.
I think he'll consume 12 in 10 minutes, and everybody else will gag. Oh my God.
Thank you, Bob. We'll talk next week.
All right, see you guys.
Wow.
I would gag if you consume 12 hot dogs in 10 minutes in my presence.
It's eating. It's eating hot dog. Yes. And I'm large, and I'm in charge.
That was the gauntlet right there, Donnie.
Would you guys like to take bets right now? I'm going to get 4 hot dogs for him tomorrow in the morning on my way into work. And I'm going to probably have him eat them at his, you know, TBD. How many minutes will it take him to eat those 4 hot dogs? Now, you've had hot dogs from this place. They're not like... They might even be smaller than
I think you should have him do it during a break and then come back and talk about it and not give the exact time. So there's still a shroud of mystery,
ooh,
but we'll try to infer from the way you guys talk about it whether or not.
This is why he's the ideas man, Donnie. This is why Pony has won. What have you won?
I've won a couple of
PAB.
Yeah. In about 15 minutes, you're going to hear what Ben Cherington had to say on MLB Network. We have the audio. Talking about trades, talking about Paul Skeens and Jared Jones. He was asked point blank, have you guys already talked about extending Paul Skeens and Jared Jones? You will hear those answers and more coming up. What the music in the background means, it's a Thursday at 3:30. It is time for PMT Power Ranking, sponsored by no one yet, but we'll figure that out soon enough. We are ranking after Bub Carrington became the 14th pick in the NBA draft last night. Malzi, 10 best basketball players in Pitt Hoops history. Now, have you reached out to the EJ Borghetti?
No, I did this myself. I didn't want to cheat.
Okay.
I did it myself.
10-1.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to take as much time as you need here. I will cede the floor to you here. Malzi's all-time. Your bread and butter, the love of your life, is college hoops and Pitt basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You've never cared about a list more than the one you're about to give right now in PMT Power Rankings.
I realized as I made my list of 10 that I actually forgot to put on one of the names that I knew I needed to.
So someone right now in real time is getting taken off the list.
Yeah, somebody
who is.
Who is
it? Who just got
caught? Chevy Trautman.
Chevy Trautman, see you later.
Sorry, Chevy.
Chevy, I saw him at the zoo about a month ago, and he still looked like he could kick my ass and go for about 10-10 in an ACC game.
The second part of that's impressive. The first part, there's a lot of people who look like that.
Well, not after all those burpees I did today, Malzi.
For sure. Somebody at Awaken 180 said, I thought you'd be shorter to me in person. And I said, no, I'm 6 feet tall. And then we had to break it to the person that you're like a giant compared to me and Donnie.
Hmm.
Anyway.
10.
All right. This is supposed to be based on like my vibes here. This is not like stat-based. This is vibes.
Yes.
10. A shocker right out of the gate. Blake Hinson. I don't know. The guy, I watched the guy go into Duke, do what he did to them on their floor, get up on the scorer's table. That's a very difficult place to play. I watched him put 40 on somebody. I watched the guy shoot with no conscience from the logo.
Okay.
I watched the guy hit a huge shot in last year's NCAA tournament.
So we're getting prisoner of the moment here right out of the box. Is Jalen Lowe going to make this list? Or are we going to see
Bob? He's the best combination of shooter and
a little bit of size.
How about the
Diaz-Graham twins? Are they coming in at 6-7 on this list?
Donnie, he said he was going to let me have the floor here, and all he's doing is crapping all over pick number one.
You just put Blake Hinson.
He's number 10 on my list.
Top 10 all time.
Yeah, sure.
And you kicked Chevy Troutman out for Blake Hinson.
Okay. And?
Nine.
Nine is going to be Vontigo Cummings. First round pick. I remember.
Donnie has no idea who Vontigo Cummings is.
Mid-90s,
please
school him. Mid-90s Pitt. I think he was technically drafted as a point guard, but he's kind of a combo guard for all seasons. He was, you know, 6'4", prototype size. Back when Kentucky was capital K Kentucky, Donnie, Pitt plays them in like the Maui shootout in like 96 or something like that.
Ballsy was loving that game.
They're ranked fourth. I couldn't even watch it because it was on ESPN. Ranked fourth in the country, but little Ballsy looks at the box score the next day and sees that Pitt knocks him off. Cummings was a stud. He was a very good ball player for Pitt teams that didn't have a lot of very good ball players. Does that one require me to apologize to you?
No, I'm okay with that.
You're sitting there thinking sweet nothings about Eric Devendorf while I'm doing this.
Eight.
Eight is Jerome Lane.
Send it in to eighth on the list.
The most iconic probably play in Pitt history. Is it a top five iconic play in college basketball history if you take non-NCAA tournament?
Oh, yeah. If you go non-NCAA, sure.
Yeah, I mean, you got all these buzzer beaters in NCAA tournament games, but we're talking college basketball regular
season.
The call
makes it even more iconic.
The call is awesome of that play, and the dunk is awesome of that play. So Jerome Lane, really good ball player, first-round pick himself, is number eight on my list. Number seven.
Talib Zana.
No. Number seven is the best pump fake I've ever seen, Sam Young. A guy who could... I think you're really good at something if everybody knows you're going to do it and they still either fall for it or can't. If it's a pitch, they can't hit it. Everybody knew Mariano Rivera was going to throw him cutter after cutter. No, hardly anyone hit it hard, ever. That's why he's the best closer of all time. Pretty much everyone with a pulse knew that if Sam Young wasn't dunking on you, what he was probably going to do is pump fake.
Still couldn't stop it.
He would be up on his damn tiptoes, almost traveling every time. It was an unbelievable pump fake. He was an awkward-looking basketball player at times, but the man could score. He's number seven. Number six, Billy Knight. I've got to go by what I've been told. I know Billy Knight was a stud. I know Billy Knight was a monster. I know Billy Knight is a Pittsburgh guy who went to Pitt and was great at Pitt. People can tell me how great he was, and I'm going to respect
my
elders.
So now in an eye test thing, you are trusting others' eyes.
Well, there are two...
You are bringing in outside eyes.
See, J.J. Redick, now he's the coach of the Lakers, whoop-de-doo, got in big trouble.
He can drop F-bombs at press conferences,
apparently. He got in big trouble with the late Jerry West when he said Jerry West was getting guarded by plumbers and whatever, and electricians.
And Cale Berger agreed with that.
And Jerry West basically crapped all over him and said, I had the best vertical... And I was like the best athlete in my draft. I would have whooped your ass if we played each other. And
I agree with that.
And he's right about that, ultimately. So I don't think I'm wrong to put Billy Knight in here at number six. Do you have a big issue with that?
I do not. But you are relying on the eyes of others, which I didn't know you would do in this.
I did that.
You have done lists where you've said, I'm only counting people that Ballsy was alive to
watch. I would say I relied on the eyes of others here for a total of three picks, and that's one of them. Number five, guy who goes to Pitt and averages a double-double, and oh, by the way, is a two sports star.
Aaron Gray.
Sam Bam Clancy.
Okay.
Two-sport guy, 14 and 11 and a half boards.
Massive hands.
One of the nicest human beings you'd ever want to meet. A great ambassador for Pitt.
Donnie, have you met Sam Clancy?
I haven't met him, no.
You know what? And I'm relying on my eyes in this way. Did I watch Sam Clancy play? No. Can I look at Sam Clancy now and think, yeah, that guy probably absolutely wrecked people when he was playing? Yes, it's actually very easy for me to do that, Pony.
Also played for the Browns, so he does have that going for him in Mulsey's eyes.
That's kind of a low... Do you need to?
No, I didn't, but I just thought it would be
you
fun.
Like to. Number four, another night. A guy who, for me, you want to talk formative years, your late teenage years, you're still... If you're me, you're obviously huge into sports. You certainly don't have too many dates taking up your social calendar.
Fair enough. Now I'm listening.
Brandon Knight. A guy who I think transformed this program. Is he... What do you mean? Oof.
I'm just looking at this list and thinking, you've watched these guys play. If Vontigo Cummings played Brandon Knight in a game of one-on-one, he would absolutely work him to death.
Okay, but he didn't. And Brandon Knight played for teams that beat really good teams with players who were probably better than Brandon Knight, but he would shut them down.
Okay.
Fontigo Cummings was also 6'5". Brandon Knight usually guarded guys closer to 6'2", 6'1". Like the number he used to do annually on Chris Thomas at Notre Dame. I hated that guy.
Three.
Don Henan. Did I ever see him play?
Oh, wow.
What?
I didn't think you'd go into the vault, but good for you. This is an extensive research list here.
He's the greatest Pitt scorer probably of all time. Greatest shooter ever to play at Pitt.
And didn't he hang out with the guy that cured polio?
Don Henan was good enough to play professional basketball and instead decided to go to medical school and then had a long career as a surgeon. Respect it. I do. He
so
just
do
said,
I.
I'm done. I'm
he's
done.
Like, he's like Billy Shakespeare with the Steelers. Didn't he do the same thing?
Medical school? I don't know. But I know
Don. Think he became an author.
Somebody became a judge who was drafted by the Steelers. I think it might have been Shakespeare. Anywho.
Can you imagine you go into Judge William Shakespeare's traffic court? You got to listen to that guy's Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou, Romeo? In county jail for the next 10 to 20, jackass.
Don Henan was 5'8". I feel like you could probably give him work.
Oh, what are you doing here?
Two.
Two is a guy that played in my lifetime. I didn't really see him, but I've seen enough highlights and I know his reputation. Charles Smith.
Okay.
For most people, probably the best Pitt player of all time. Drafted, what, 3 overall, I believe? In his draft.
Yes, that's right.
Charles Smith, a monster. Known in the NBA for once missing 4 layups in about a 6-second span, which I hate to bring up here. Against what? Was it the Bulls? Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
That was the Bulls series, one of those Knicks Bulls series. But the guy was a 6'10 prototype power forward in the pre-NBA stretch 4 era.
And one?
DeJuan Blair. You asked me to use my eyes. DeJuan Blair is the greatest specimen I have ever seen suit up for that team. Throwing dudes like Hashim Thabeet over his shoulder like it's a judo match. Double doubles. Goes in there and just bullies Duke in Madison Square Garden. Was he a perfect player? Hardly. Did he have major limitations in terms of the NBA? Yes. He didn't have a damn ACL in either knee, and he still got drafted and had a nice little pro career.
Neither does Peyton Wilson. We're counting on him for big things with the
Steelers. DeJuan Blair is, in my lifetime, and that is where the bias crept in a little bit for me, he is, in my lifetime, the best Pitt player I have ever seen. So he's number one.
Man, I really hope Julius isn't listening to this.
Oh, there's a ton of honorable mentions. Any other? See, what I wrote down here is like 24 names. Okay.
Wow, you really did take it seriously.
There are guys like Julius, like Jerron Brown, Eric Mobley. There's LaVance Fields. There's Krauser. I even put Bub because Bub for 1 year was fun as hell to watch. Michael Young, Jamel Artis, not our old boss Michael Young, Chris Taft, Lamar Patterson, Wanamaker. There's a lot. Sean Miller. There's a lot of guys who are in the honorable mention, but you made me go with 10, and that's where I went with. And, of course, Jeff in South Park, thank you very much. Byron Wizard White, Steelers player? Nope. Supreme Court Justice.
There you go. All right, I posted.